Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Good morning, everybody. It's always a privilege to be here and to share the word. It is truly an opportunity for all of us just to come and to receive from Him, not through a man, but through God. And that's really my prayer this morning, that you will not hear me speak, but that you will hear God speak. That you'll forget my words and that His words will remain in your heart. Because it's His word that changes us. It's nothing else. It's the Spirit making the word alive that becomes rhema and living and shapes us. It gives us life. And it's that what I'm trusting for this morning. So let us just pray. Father, we want to thank you that we can come together in your name, knowing that you promised where two of us are gathered together in your name, you are with us. And Lord, we thank you for your word that is alive. It is your word that was in the beginning. It was with God and it was God. And everything that was made through him. Nothing that was made without him. And in him was life. That life is the light of men, and it shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. Lord, we pray for your word to shine into our lives, that we may have the life that it purposed to bring. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you something, I guess very simple, very basic. This is down and many burdens. And if we're honest with ourselves and we look at where we get these things, where do they come from, it's very interesting to note that most of the things that we carry with us, most of the burdens and the things that wears us down, is actually found right here in this world. It's things that we have gained here through our lives. And Jesus makes this invitation, as we all carry these burdens and things that wears us down, Jesus makes a powerful invitation. But that's what is so powerful about it, first of all, that it is an invitation. It is a choice. I don't know if you've ever gone to people with your burdens, with the things that wears you down, and you've heard these things. Don't come to me with your problems. Have anybody heard that before? Going to people and they say, you know, I don't want to know about your problems. Don't come to me with your problems. You know, the most important thing is these things that we carry are real. And what is so amazing is that Jesus makes this invitation that we must come to Him. He's not saying, I don't want to hear about your burdens. They're not important. They are insignificant in the relation to who I am. He's not even saying that, which is absolutely true. He could have said that. He could say, why are you worrying about this? It's completely insignificant in the light of eternity. Now, Jesus doesn't do that. He says, come to me. Come to me with your burdens. Come to me with the things that are wearing you down. I want you to come. And you know why? Because he loves you. He cares about you. So Jesus makes this profound invitation that we must bring our burdens and the things that weighs us down to him. He says, come to me. Come with this baggage that you are carrying and I will give you rest. It is an invitation though. And with it is also a choice. It's an invitation to come. It's our choice whether we're going to respond to this invitation. Jesus beckons us from the world to come to where he is, and he says, bring these things to me. But it's up to us whether we're going to respond to that invitation. I think what is also very significant is not just that this is an invitation to come with the things that we carry, that we struggle with, to someone that loves us, this person that makes this invitation is even greater. If you think about who is this person, you know, it's one thing to come to me with your burdens, your circumstances, your relationships, all the things that wear you down. It's one thing to come to another man or a woman. It's another thing to come to God. That this is not the pastor that's inviting you to speak to him about the things that wears you down. This is God himself that says, come to me. And who is this person that makes this invitation is so powerful? This is God himself. And I just want to reflect on this one aspect of God in Revelations chapter 1. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is, who was, and who is to come. The Almighty. I mean, there's three things there. First of all, Jesus says, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and Omega. You know, many of our burdens and our fears are rooted in the uncertainty of what the future may bring. What the future holds. We carry these fears many times in our hearts because of the uncertainty of what can possibly happen. And the reality is we have this tendency in uncertainty is to believe the worst. I mean, isn't that what fear is? Fear most of the time is something that keeps us awake at night because of all the things that can possibly still go wrong. And we are uncertain of what will happen. We have just lost our job and we're not sure if we'll be able to feed our children in 2 months' time. And because we are uncertain, because we don't have the ability to see the future, we are afraid and we're stressed and we are concerned because of the unknown. Jesus says, I am the beginning and the end. I was there at the start of time, and I will be there at the end of time. I was there when the first man was created, and I will be there when the last ceased to exist in this earth. I was there before you were born, and I'm there when you die. I've already seen your life. And God stands outside of time, and for him it's like a procession that is passing by. It's like a ruler that he looks upon, you know, 0 centimeter to 30 centimeter. And we all do that. We see the ruler and we see all the markings. This is how God looks at time. And he says, I'm the beginning and the end. It's amazing when God calls us to come to him. Because many of our fears are based on uncertainty and we do not know what is going to happen. And Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Many of our burdens are related to our circumstances. If it's not the uncertainty, and you know, we know, I just want to drop this in. We know Hebrews 11 verse 1 that speaks about the definition of the working of faith, not the definition of faith, but just how faith works, to be certain of what we hope for, to be sure of what is still unseen. Well, fear works exactly the same way, is to be certain of what you dread for, to be sure of what is still unseen. They work the same way. Faith is to be certain what we hope for. We take hold of what is still unseen and we believe it. We bring it into our life and then it manifests. You know what? Fear works exactly the same way. It's just to be certain of what you dread for. To be sure of what is still unseen and we draw it into our lives and then it manifests. You know, the great thing is a lot of our fear is rooted in uncertainty. So God, who sees the beginning and the end, calls us to come to him because he knows all things. Gives me great confidence to come to God in times of uncertainty. And then, of course, the burdens that we carry is related to our circumstances. Many of us are in circumstances. It is a reality. It's not the fear of what might still happen. It is the reality of what has already happened. And we are in the circumstances and we are struggling with the reality of the circumstances and the consequences of this. And then it is God that calls us in the midst of our circumstances, not to ignore our circumstances, not to find a great escape, but to come to him. And he says, come to me, I am the Almighty. I mean, that's Revelations. I am the Almighty. Well, that simply means God has within himself intrinsic power to do whatever he wants. There's nothing
that God cannot do. Nothing is impossible for God. So it doesn't matter what your circumstances, it doesn't matter how impossible it might be for you, for God, nothing is impossible. So here God calls us, that is the beginning and the end, who is almighty, and he says, come to me. I know you don't see, I do. I know you don't have the power, but I do. So come to me. And right in the middle it says, the one who was and is to come. You know how beautiful that is? God says, I do not change. I do not change. I'm the same God of Abram. I'm the same God of Jacob, Isaac, Moses, Paul, John. I'm the same God. I haven't changed. As a matter of fact, I'm not just the beginning and the end. I'm already waiting for you in your tomorrow. I'm not just waiting for you in tomorrow. I'm waiting for you in your next week, in your next month, in your next year. I'm already there. And I do not change, and nothing is impossible for me. So come to me. Come to me. He makes this invitation. And with this invitation comes a promise. It's not just an invitation. There comes a promise. It says, come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I mean, what an amazing invitation. Not just by the one who makes it, but by the promise in it. The question is for us this morning, where do you go when you are worn out? Where do you go? When you're worn out emotionally, spiritually, religiously, where do you go to? Who do you turn? Where do you go with your burdens, your concerns, your fears, your stresses, your circumstances? Where do you look for rest? Well, Jesus makes this invitation. You know, rest, it's this place where you come in the midst of the uncertainty and the circumstances, and you can just go, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Can we practice that? Just breathe in. It's going to be fine. And it's not just it's going to be fine because I hope it's going to be fine. No, it's going to be fine because God is there. It's like running from an enemy or from something that chases you, and you run to get to someone who can deliver you, that are stronger than you, that can protect you. And you run, and when you find God, you leap into his arms. You know, if I'm in his arms like a dog chasing you, and you're running to your dad just to jump into his arms. And you know, if I can just reach him, you know, God is making this invitation and says, come to me. And you will find rest for your souls. See, the challenge is, where do we look for our rest? Where do we look for our deliverance? Where do we look to be unburdened? See, the challenge is, our peace, our rest is not found in this world. It's not found in things in this world. That's why Jesus makes the invitation to come to him. He's not of this world. He's not in this world. He's not in the things of this world. He's not in the philosophy of this world. He's not in the pursuit of this world. No, he's in the kingdom. It's a different place. It's a different philosophy, if you may. It's a different way of life. It's a different way of thinking and doing to this world. You see, the reason why Jesus makes this invitation is because our rest, our peace, is not found in this world or things in this world. And we all carry these things. And therefore, he makes this invitation. So what are the things that burdens us? You know what? Jesus makes this invitation to come to Him from this world, because all the stuff that we carry is things that we caught here. It's things that we picked up here. It's things that we were exposed to here. And Jesus says, come to where I am. Come to me. And then He says, bring your burdens. And then we can start coming to Jesus with all the stuff that wears us down. You know, our relationships, sorry, I only have goals. Our relationships. Our desires. It's a pink card. It's goals. Sorry. Our hopes and our dreams and our expectations. You know. Maybe our pension. You know, there's so many things that we carry in here. Maybe even stuff in our church. Or what about money? Or the lack of it. And you know, so many times we come to Jesus and we really unload our bags. And we really bring it to Him, and we come to Him with our burdens, our concerns, and our fears, and we lay it at His feet. And when we've really emptied our bag with all the stuff that's still in here, when we finish, we feel so much lighter, and we put our bag back on, and we go back into the world. And before we know it, hey, here they are again. The same relationships. Different dress, though. Yeah, it's still Barbie. It's not quite the same car, but it is. It's pink, and it's another one. And guess what? There's more money here, or the lack of it. And then before we know it, this bag becomes all full again. And we start carrying the same burdens all over again, and we go back to Jesus. And say, hey, Jesus, can I bring you all my burdens? Thank you for allowing me. And we have this pattern from walking to and fro. And even though we unload the stuff that wears us down and the burdens that we carry, before we know it, we're back at the same source where we got it in the first place. And Jesus is not calling us for a great escape. He's calling us for a great exchange. Because where He is, these things have no value. And because He's almighty, even though we live in this world and we need these things, Jesus makes a promise, God makes a promise, because He's almighty. He says, come to me and make an exchange, and I will give you rest. You see, the challenge is God's ways are not our ways. And His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we many times try to figure it out, how God's going to provide for us and how He's going to do this and how He's going to change the circumstances. You see, His wisdom is far greater than all the wisdom of the world together. And in His wisdom, in God's wisdom, He purposed that our peace is found in Christ, not in the world. Nor in the wisdom of the world, nor in the things of the world, nor in the ways of the world. Our peace, our rest, is not found in the world, but it is found in Christ. In His wisdom, He has chosen that Christ is our peace. And therefore, He calls us. And before I want to go on, I want to say something. You know, in Christ is like your ark in the midst of a storm. Yes, your circumstances might be against you and the world may come tumbling down, but Christ is our ark. And it's not the knowledge of the existence of the ark that saves us. It is our presence in the ark that saves us. So God doesn't call us to the knowledge of him. He's calling us to be in him. And that's an exchange that needs to take place. That's an exchange. It's not just knowing of God. It is being with God, being in Christ, being in a relationship with him where I have surrendered my life to his way of life. It's in a great exchange that takes place. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And here comes the key, the mystery, the wisdom of God. You must make an exchange. That is what Jesus said. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, so many times we come with our burdens to Jesus and we unload it. And we go back to the same source where we got it, and we never made the exchange. And we cannot understand why there is a path between this world and God constantly as I walk to and fro, and I kind of just repeat the same cycle over and over. It's because we've never made an exchange. You just brought your burdens to Jesus. You just unloaded it, but you never made an exchange for your burden for his yoke. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, come to me with your burdens and take my yoke. So Jesus says, come to me. I'm not ignoring these things and I want to hear about them and I understand these things and I really love you, but I want you to make an exchange. I want you to leave your burdens and your yokes and you must take up mine. For mine is easy and light. It's an exchange. And many of us as Christians, we miss that. It's an exchange. So he calls us. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here is the thing. It's more than an unpacking. It is an exchange. It's an exchange, and it's in that exchange that you will find rest for your souls. I've discovered that so many times. I can go to God with my issues and my circumstances and try to resolve it in the ways of this world, or I can come to him and say, Lord, I want to make an exchange for your ways and your thoughts, your wisdom. You see, if I simply unpack, I will return to the same source all over again. But if I make an exchange, I'll never go back there. And that's what God is calling us. Isn't that what Matthew 6 says? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? After all these things, the Gentile seeks, for your Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things. Shall be added to you. It's an exchange. What is this yoke? What is this change before we get to the yoke? Well, it's an ultimate pursuit, priority in life. What is the pursuit, the priority in your life? Because this world has a certain goal, certain pursuits and realities and necessities that it holds before us as what the meaning of life is and what fulfillment and rest and peace will provide. And God says, no, I want you to exchange that for my yoke. And what is his yoke? What is a yoke? A yoke is an object of labor. We know it so well. We Afrikaners, nee, die osse was het allemaal die juk gehad tussen die twee osse, nee. A yoke is something it wears see us. Why not? Kom see us. A yoke is an instrument of labor where you take two oxen and you tie them to each other so that they can do work together. A yoke is an instrument of labor that ties two things together to do work.
Thanks, yes. Jesus says, come, tie yourself to me. And you will find rest for your souls. Make an exchange for the thing that the world works for and exchange it for what I work for. And you'll find rest for your souls. And then he says something powerful. He continues to say, you know, we must make his kingdom and his righteousness first. I mean, that's how you make this exchange. This is simple what it is. You go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I'm going to exchange the pursuit of this world and I'm going to exchange it for your pursuit. Now, may I ask you, if a yoke is an instrument of labor, what is Jesus' labor? Let's just think about it. If it's an exchange of a burden for a yoke, if a yoke is an instrument of labor, if I'm tying myself to Jesus to do his work, what is his work? It's to see the lost safe. It's the kingdom. If I tie myself to Jesus, I'm not just tying myself to his work, I'm tying myself to who he is, his righteousness. It's his character. It's his way of life. So Jesus says, come to me, tie yourself to me, work with me, and you will find rest for your souls. Make the exchange. It's a choice. He says, and you will find rest for your souls. You know what? You know why his yoke is easy and his burden is light? Who is big here and strong? Who is bigger and stronger than I am? Come on, somebody big. I will pick somebody that looks older, wiser, and stronger than I am. Kom oom. There we go. Now, you know why it's easy to carry this load? Because he's so much stronger than I am. This is something we carry together, but because he is so much stronger than I am, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Okay. The reason why Jesus says his burden is easy and his yoke is light, because we are tied together with him. And you know what? He's far stronger than I am. So I'm not carrying that load anymore. In my church, I'm a big guy. Jammer, hy het nie gekom nie. Aubrey. He's this tall and he's about this wide. If I have to pull a car on my own, it will be very difficult. But to pull a car with Aubrey, it's not so difficult. And Jesus says, come, tie yourself to me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And then he says something even more profound. And we must understand this. We must understand this. This is his kingdom. This is his passion. He says, listen, in this world, what the world pursues, you will not find life in here. You will not find rest in here. You will not find your peace in here. But my kingdom, there is. And I know you need all these things. My Father knows you need all these things, but seek first my kingdom. And you know what? All the things that you need will be added to you. That's the testimony of my life, probably that of Ciaz and every other person that follows Jesus with all their life, not just in the ministry, outside of the ministry, just pursue his kingdom. Just tie yourself to Jesus and say, Lord, I want your priority to be my priority. My primary pursuit is going to be your pursuit. It's an exchange. We can't escape it. I'm sorry, you cannot escape this. It's an exchange. And it's not just for what you pursue. It's for who you are, your righteousness. I want to be like you. Every child of God grows up in the kingdom. God is excited about him. He lifts him up and he says, this is my son, this is my daughter whom I love, and I will feed him milk and I will change his nappies, and he's going to grow up in my house. And at some stage, you're going to come to an age of maturity and the father's going to say, my son, my daughter, I love you so much. You've experienced so much of who I am and my family, my identity and who I see you are and who I want you to be. But can I show you the family business? This is the family business. It's the harvest. I want you to work with me. It changes everything. I'm not saying you must change your careers. No, I must just say use your careers as a platform for the harvest. Use it as a tool. Make an exchange. What is the primary pursuit of our lives?
If our primary pursuit of our lives is stuff in this world, you will never have rest, you will never have peace. But if your primary pursuit is what God pursues, you will find rest for your souls. Because you will not be doing it alone. You see, the measure you use for success in life, whether it's on this side or on that side, the measure you use as success in your life will determine what you value in life. If your measure for success in this life is wealth, then you will value wealth. What is the measure of success in your life? What is the primary pursuit? Because the measure will determine what you value, and what you value will determine what you're fulfilled with, what you'll be satisfied with. If your measure is wealth, then you will place more value on wealth, and you will only be satisfied with wealth. But if your measure is the kingdom, you will value the kingdom, and you will be fulfilled in the kingdom. It's an exchange. It's an exchange. You know, and His ways are always different to our ways, and it requires faith and trust. We have to trust Him. That's why Jesus said, why do you worry about these things? I mean, look at God's character. Look how He cares for the birds and the bees and the flowers and everything around you. You have to trust Him. That's His wisdom. It's a surrender, an absolute surrender to follow Him. And how do we follow Him? We follow His word, His teaching. You can't say you're a follower of Jesus and you don't know His teachings. Christians today don't read the Bible anymore. I don't understand that. We say we are followers of Jesus. We say we are His disciples, but we don't know His teachings. And then on TBN or wherever, somebody can do a miracle and teach a lot of other stuff. And we follow them. You know why we follow them? Because we don't know Jesus' teaching. And people are deceived and disillusioned because of wrong teaching. Because we ourselves don't know the Word of God. So you follow God by knowing His teaching. You can't be a follower of Jesus and not know what He taught. And if somebody's eloquent in his presentation of certain facts, it doesn't make him anointed. It's simply whether he teaches the truth or not. Are you a follower of Jesus or you're a follower of a man? So you can't say you're a follower of Jesus if you don't know His Word. And the other way we follow Jesus is through His example. I mean, how did Jesus live? We say we're a follower of Jesus. We need to follow His example. We need to follow His word, follow His teaching, and follow His example. I mean, that's Karate Kid. That's why God allowed Karate Kid to be made. That's just a joke, but wax on, wax off. Daniel's son, you want to become like me, you must copy me, you must imitate me. I will show you how to punch. You punch like this, you kick like this, now do it 10,000 times until you get it right. But you got to imitate me. You can't punch like you want to punch. Punch like I punch. You can't say we're a follower of Jesus and we know His teachings, but we don't live the life He lived. We don't live the example that He lived. And then we need to follow His voice because He's still alive. He still speaks. So a disciple of Jesus is somebody that follows His word, follows His example, and follows His voice. You've got to be obedient to what He says to you because He's still alive. You've got to make that exchange. The exchange is, I'm going to exchange my priorities and my primary pursuit in life for His priorities and pursuits. And I'm going to follow His teaching. I'm going to follow His example. I'm going to follow His voice. And in that you will find rest for your souls. That is how we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. His righteousness speaking about His teaching and His example and His voice. It's a relationship. But here comes the reassuring reality. Jesus says, come to me and learn from me. He makes this invitation that we must come and we must make the exchange. And when we make this exchange, it is so daunting. It is so challenging because it is so different to the world. It is so different to what the world teaches about where you're going to find your rest, your security, and your peace in your wealth and your investments, in your relationships and your influence, in all those stuff. And Jesus says, no. Make an exchange. You're not going to find it there. Make an exchange and I will teach you. Learn from me. And this is the great reassurance that even though you do not know what this means, even though you're not sure how it's going to look or how to operate or how to live, or it's okay. Jesus says, learn from me. Tie yourself to me and learn from me. I will teach you. And I'm humble and gentle in heart. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to force you to do anything. I'm going to lovingly, patiently teach you. Just come to me. Make an exchange. Tie yourself to me and learn from me. And you will find rest for yourself. Oh, is it a challenge? Oh, it's a big challenge. Because where Jesus goes is 180 degrees to where the world goes. I know that. But if you follow him, if you allow him to teach you, you will find rest for your souls. And you know what? All these other things, first, they will become meaningless. And then they'll be added to you anyway as a blessing. But your joy will not be found in it. Your joy will be found in following this God that loves you so much. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, the one who I follow. I shall not want. He leads me to where there's rest and peace and green pastures." And sometimes he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes we go through hard, dry, dark places as we follow him. David said, "But I'm not afraid. Why? Because you are here with me. I've been following you." You know, in the desert, if you go to Israel, it's not green everywhere. If it was green everywhere and there was water everywhere and there was peace and rest everywhere, you would not need a shepherd. But there's a little patch of green grass and water. And after a time, it runs out and then you need to find another one. But you don't know where it is. That's why you need a shepherd. He knows. So he takes you from a green place through the desert to another green place. That's what the shepherd does. You got to trust him. And yes, sometimes he leads us through difficult places. But if you are following him, you don't need to be afraid. That's why David said, "I'm not afraid." Why? Because you're my shepherd. I got in this valley because you are leading me through this valley. Now, if you got yourself into that valley, be afraid, be very afraid. But if you are following Jesus, don't be afraid. Because you know, on the other side of the valley, there's a table prepared for you. And your cup is not half empty. And all those who wanted to destroy you in their presence, God vindicates, honors, and exalts you. And then David said, "You know what? Surely goodness and mercy follows me. I follow Jesus, and goodness and mercy follows me." It's not we follow goodness and mercy, prosperity, and we don't follow that. No, follow Jesus.
I know it's 180 degrees. But make the exchange. It's an invitation. Come to me. Make an exchange and you will find rest for your souls. I will teach you. I'm humble. Gentle. As you tie yourself to me, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Because I'm carrying it anyway. So this morning, it's a simple invitation to come to Him. To make an exchange. To make His kingdom and His righteousness first in your life. And to learn from Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that we know that You love us. It's not just emotions. It's not just a warm feeling towards us. It's Your Son on the cross. You gave us everything to save us. To save us from not just the sin in our lives, but this world that we're trapped in. You sent Your Son to set us free. So that we may have the life that You have come to give through Your Son. The devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but You've come to give life and life more abundantly. You've come not that we should be slaves again unto fear, but that we will be sons and daughters of the Almighty God. In Your house, seated with You in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And Lord, You want to give us life. And You know it's not in this world, and therefore You make this invitation to make an exchange. To come to You and make an exchange. And to learn from You and to follow You. So that You can lead us. You know where the life is. You know where the green grass is. You know where the rivers of rest and peace is. You know. God, I pray this morning for us who have burdens. For us who are weary. Lord, You make this invitation. Come to me. Bring it. Bring your burdens. Bring your concerns. Bring your circumstances. Bring your fears and your uncertainties. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Don't take it to others. Don't take it to the world. Don't take it to philosophies and nice words. Bring it to me. Come to me. Make an exchange. Tie yourself to me. I'm gentle and humble, and I will teach you. I will teach you. And you will find rest for your souls. If that is you this morning and you are carrying burdens, or the fear and the stress and the uncertainty is wearing you down, you don't know what's the future is going to hold for you, and you don't know how you're going to get out of your circumstances. I don't know who you are. I don't know what the burdens are. I don't know what are the things that are wearing you down. But I do know one thing. The One who calls you does not change. And He is almighty. And He is calling you today. And if that is you, I want you to do something bold. I want you to bring your burdens. I want you to bring the things that wears you down. I want you to just come forward. I want you to bring it. But before you do, I want you to think about your burdens. I want you to think about the things that wears you down. And I want you to make an exchange this morning, symbolically, prophetically, but spiritually. I want you to respond by that. And if that is you this morning, I want you to come forward. Just bring your burdens. Just as you are. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. It's an invitation. So come. If you want to make that exchange, you want to take that leap, I want you to bring it. God doesn't want you to carry this burden anymore. I don't know if it's your circumstances. I don't know if it's relationships. I don't know if it's a child. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's your finance. I don't know if it's your future. I don't know what it is. God says, bring it to me. I want you to bring it to me. So bring it to Him. But it's not an unpacking this morning. It's not an unpacking. It's something different. It's an exchange. It's an exchange. It makes all the difference. I want to give you an opportunity not to unpack it. I know some of you have unpacked this burden so many times. So many times. Jesus is calling you to make an exchange. There's one more person you need to make an exchange. I want to set you free. I'm going to ask the facilitators to come and help to pray. And Father, I want to thank you, Father, this morning, Father, for these burdens, Lord, for these uncertainties, these fears, Lord, these fears, the things that we dread so much, the circumstances that is so great. Thank you that we can come to you this morning and we want to make an exchange, Lord. We want to make an exchange. We want to lay it at your feet and we want to take up your cross, your yoke, your passion, your pursuit. That what you value most, Lord, we want it to value most for us. God, we want to make that exchange. And Lord, we don't even know how to do this. We don't know how to do this. We don't know how to walk this walk that you've been walking, Lord. We don't know how to carry this yoke. But we know that you are gentle and you are humble and you are willing to teach us. So we are willing to trust you to teach us. So Lord, I pray that you will teach, that you will show. Lord, I pray that you will take these burdens away from us as we exchange it for your yoke. Lord, and I thank you for fields that will be plowed, seed that will be sown, lands that will be watered, crop that will grow, and the harvest that will ripen. The harvest coming in. The harvest coming in. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for rest and joy unspeakable when we labor with you and we see the fruit coming in, Lord. It will be so great, we won't even notice the goodness and mercy that has been following us. We will no longer care about this world or the things in this world because it will already be met by you. And our children will never go hungry. And they will never beg. And they will not be the tail but the head. And they will leave our homes. They will leave our homes searching for this harvest. Searching for the souls that needs to be saved. And we will rejoice with you forever. We'll rejoice with you forever. Just an exchange, Lord. Faith and trust in you. Pray for that in Jesus' name.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.